I got my mojo.
Mojo 5-0.
I got my mojo working. I
live free.
I got my mojo working. Just won't work on you. I got my mojo working, but I just don't know what to do, y'all.
Day of March 2021, I can't help but stop for a minute and reflect on the last 41 years. Why? Well, because today it is my birthday. That's right. 41 years ago, Sherry Ann and Dave watched as this ruggedly good-looking, intelligent specimen dropped from the birth canal and into the world, a world full of promises, and in the most free country on the face of the planet where anything would be possible. So long as I set my mind to something and worked hard, nothing could stop me. Nothing could get in my way. Somewhere along the line, I lost sight of all that, and I ended up getting lost on my way to a real life, trapped in the world of fugitive apprehension, where I would start the long, exciting, dangerous, invigorating, adrenaline-filled, fun, and at times miserable existence as a bounty hunter. I started in Florida after many jobs that began as a 12-year-old when I first punched the time clock at Mr. Donut in Richfield, Minnesota, 66th and Penn. Like George and Wheezy, though, I was moving on up and started a job at Devani's Pizza and Hot Hoagies. I loved working there. I worked with great people. It was really a great company to work for also. I would find myself working in some really mundane positions as a mortgage broker and other various paper-pushing desk jockey jobs. And then one day in Florida, a guy called Anthony Rodriguez introduced me to the career that I would be trapped in for almost two decades as I pursued some of the most wanted and most dangerous fugitives wanted out of Florida. I would eventually move back here to my home state of the People's Republic in Minnesota, where I met Marie Farron. The rest is history. Yes, after seeing her dance on the bar that night, I just had to have her. We've been through our ups and downs, and I'm sure every marriage has seen that at one point. But we managed to love each other harder than we do anything else. So we've always seen our way through the tough times and honored our oath until death do us part. Three beautiful kids, two boys, Nolan and Eli, along with my Princess Reagan, nothing could be better. Many of you know Richard Leonard, the Purple Heart-bearing U.S. Army National Guard veteran and longtime cohort here on PC Radio, but many of you don't know that he was right alongside of me for thousands of arrests, tens of thousands of miles, and countless hours in dozens of different vehicles and aircraft across the entire country for over a decade, as we put each other's lives in our hands on a daily basis. And we really made our mark as we would lead the nation's most successful and one of the nation's most prolific teams in the private sector of bail enforcement as bail investigators, aka bounty hunters, that this country has ever seen. Fugitives are happy to know that we're no longer accepting cases, as God has a new plan in my life at this ripe young age. And so for now, you guys are all stuck with me until I go elsewhere. But I want you to know that I appreciate you being here. I really do. I couldn't mean that more genuinely. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't want to. I'm extremely humbled by the great amount of growth that this platform has seen as we explode into new record-smashing numbers for a new broadcast almost every single day. The new family that I've found at Red Voice Media is irreplaceable. I can't thank Mojo 50 Radio enough. Ron Phillips and the gang over there, they gave me a start when nobody else wanted to. And the people that I've met and become friends with in this short amount of time is just incredibly awesome. And I value those relationships more than any of you will ever know. For those of you that did not know any of this about my life, I've got a short film for you to highlight some of what Richard and I have been through that brought us up to this point.
Fugitive who claimed she would never get caught has now been arrested here in.
It worries me that a person capable of doing this is in the community.
Stu Peters, a bounty hunter, well known in Minnesota.
U.S. Fugitive Apprehension offering a $10,000 reward.
We believe the person is from the area.
And is in custody tonight.
So should I just drive around?
That's probably her right there.
Where? Yeah.
That's her right there.
All right, let's go get her.
Great times right there. I met thousands of police officers, became close to a handful of them. Many have since retired or are on their way out as law enforcement is under attack by the radical left, as cities are allowed to burn while bureaucratic figureheads sit atop the food chain and the command staffs at the highly politicized police department and sheriff's offices. But those relationships have become brotherhoods, and they are forever. Today on Patriotically Correct, and by the way, thank you for allowing me to go down memory lane with you there. Today we're going to hear from some people about the truth of Benghazi, not from politicians, but from a man that was there that night. Dave Boone Benton will join us. He was an operator for the CIA and was part of the response team that went to the consulate that evening of September 11, 2012, after help calls from diplomats that were under attack. Sarah Adams will also join us. She was the senior advisor to the U.S. Congressional Select Committee on Benghazi, and we'll ask the two of them to bring us a real account of what happened, who's to blame, and if anyone will ever be held accountable. We will also address some masking stuff, some restrictions, some mandates, and what the real vaccine passport looks like, as well as who will it really affect, as Patrick Howley will join us from National File on today's Daily Intel Brief. But first, we go to our title sponsor and in-house financial expert, Carlos Cortez with Cortez Wealth Management, to bring us the scoop on today's economic climate. Carlos, you're on the run. I see you're in your car there, but welcome back. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Stu. Happy birthday, buddy. And we really appreciate all that you've done for your community out there and for the truth community out there. Very, very hard to find great information. So I personally look forward to watching you every day, and I appreciate you allowing me to help out in any way I can.
Well, nobody would be able to watch this program if it wasn't for your sponsorship. You know, we appreciate you as well, and that goes two ways, and I'm sure that everybody out there is very appreciative that you're helping us to smash records and become the prolific show that we have become here at Patriotically Correct in just the short amount of time that we have. You know, it's my birthday, so no agenda here today. We're just kind of going down this road, and, you know, for those that wish to know this stuff, they can hang out with us. For those that don't, well, they have the freedom to turn the dial, right?
Right, right. Well, we love our freedoms. We love our freedoms. And our goal is, you know, just like you have a message, I have a message to share. Obviously, this infrastructure tax, there's a lot of calls that I'm getting right now that I'm fielding, is that everybody is putting all their money in 401ks and IRAs, and they don't know the ramifications of when they pull that money out, you don't even know what it's going to be worth. And with all this piling of national debt, all these printing of money that Biden and Dementia Boy wants to implement with this terrible Senate and House that's, you know, in conglomeration with Biden, it's like world agenda is to hurt the middle class. And so Biden goes out and says, we're not going to raise taxes on 400,000. But what he did not say is that we're going to penalize you moving forward through Social Security loopholes, earnings tests.
Yeah. And all these corporations that he's going to tax, you don't think that they're going to pass the buck? They're just going to absorb that? Exactly. Of course they're not. So when you go to buy goods, when you go to Amazon, you know, the communist-run internet machine there by Jeff Bezos, the communist socialist radical tyrant that wants nothing but totalitarianism, yep, here, along with Bill Gates, who's looking for depopulation. This is his vaccine, folks. I mean, just accept reality for what it is. Stop fighting the truth. Believe me, what your eyes are seeing, what your ears are hearing is the truth. If you're having a gut check, if your intuition is telling you something is not right, then chances are, guess what? It's not right. If it smells like a fish, if it tastes like a fish, it's probably Kamala Harris, right? Or, I mean, a fish. I'm sorry. I don't know. Freudian slip, I guess. But we can all look forward to a future President Kamala. And, you know, the market and the inflation and the value of the dollar going down, people are in real financial straits right now. They're going to need some help. In order to get that help, you don't recommend that they go to their local chain, the franchise, you know, the big names that you see all over the place. You don't recommend that people deal with big, huge banks and these China-backed, Wall Street-influenced and manipulated conglomerates that are all part of the pro-Biden stuff. These people have to do what the Biden administration says, because if they don't, they will be sanctioned. They will be penalized. They have to make moves in order to manipulate the upward trend of the market, which is all a facade.
Let me leave you with this, buddy, is we have 30 right now, $30 trillion in deficit by the time 2022 rolls around is estimated about 32 to 33. And then they're talking about another $1.9 trillion for another aid for Corona. So we're at over $30 trillion. Stu, we have actually $29 trillion, the last time I checked, in qualified plans that never been taxed of retirees' money. They know where they're getting the money to pay this deficit down. So the socialist agenda is going to continue to have crazy welfare, loose welfare programs, loose socialism programs, because they can afford it, because they know no one knows the ramification of the after-tax dollar provision.
That's right. Intern boy, I know how long the breaks are. I know that we have to get going. It's my birthday, and he needs to shut up and know his role as well. Carlos Cortez, Cortez Wealth Management, the title sponsor here, Patriotically Correct, as we get going. Boone and Sarah are on hold. We're going to find out the truth about Benghazi. Hang on, because later in the program, we will talk with Patrick Howley as well from the National File. Integrity-filled journalism, that is Carlos Cortez right down there on the screen. Thank you again for being here, sir. And the powerful conversation continues as we continue momentarily on my birthday, March 31st. My name is Stu Peters. Don't go anywhere. PC Radio is on. So many of you know, because I have been here to tell you about Verve CBD. Now, if you're a new listener to the program, a new viewer of Patriotically Correct, or you're new to the CBD game, you got to check out Verve Forever. Now, not only does Verve offer the highest quality products at the most affordable prices, but folks, Verve Forever is a veteran-owned company. That should be very important to you. It's a patriot-owned, America-first company, which is why their products, their great products, can be found at AmericaFirstOil.com. Now, I don't know if you're dealing with physical pain, or maybe you're dealing with stress or anxiety. Maybe you're dealing with some PTSD. Maybe your kid has ADHD. Look into it. I'm telling you, CBD can help with these things. And if you're already doing business with another CBD company, don't do it. Don't do that anymore. You got to do business with a patriot-owned, America-first company that's owned by a veteran of the United States Air Force. That is what Tim Klund is, and he originally developed this product line to help veterans. But it helps everybody. I'm telling you, I use the product at 41 years of age. I'm telling you, the body just doesn't recover as quickly as it used to. And I use Verve Forever topical pain cream on my shoulders. I no longer have to have surgery. I've got full range of motion back. No pain at all. The occasional flare up. And then I just use the topical cream again and it's gone. They have pain strips as well. There is CBD for everything, and Verve offers it all. I'm telling you right now, it will immensely impact your life in a positive way. Check them out today. Verve Forever products, a veteran-owned company. All of it can be found at AmericaFirstOil.com. Again, that's AmericaFirstOil.com. Visit today, AmericaFirstOil.com. Well, after studying the Select Committee's report on Benghazi, I have so many questions, as do so many Americans who feel like politics got in the way of the truth, accountability, and details from the horrific attack that caused the senseless loss of life that evening. There's so many different components that led up to the attack, intelligence that suggested the air was ripe for an attack. The timeline is curious. Those that were caught conducting surveillance ahead of the attack were the same personnel that were supposedly responsible for some of the security at the consulate. Ambassador Stevens had really only been there for a short period of time. The attackers knew exactly where Chris Stevens' living quarters were and went directly to that location. After the attack that was initiated by Al-Qaeda, other attackers took advantage of the chaos, and through everything that those people went through, millions of dollars spent, aside from the months of investigating and years of questions, it feels like we don't know who to hold specifically accountable, who's lying or participating in a cover-up, or if anyone will ever face the consequences for any of the responsibility that obviously someone bears for that night in Benghazi. She's held positions in the government, private, and nonprofit sectors. She's worked overseas on behalf of the U.S. government's intelligence mission in Europe, the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia. Sarah Adams is here, specifically because she served as the senior advisor for the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on Benghazi after being recruited as an executive appointment from the CIA. Dave Boone Benton has a combined 26 years serving in specialized teams, leadership roles in the military, law enforcement, and protective security. He's held many positions on various teams, from assaulter, sniper, breacher, tactical medical provider, team leader, and instructor positions, from explosive methods of entry, combatives, firearms, and close quarters battle. Mr. Benton has 12 years conducting low signature counterterrorism and protective operations for CIA's global response staff and was part of the team that responded to the consulate in Benghazi on the night of September 11, 2012. Both Sarah and Boone join us now. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
We couldn't agree more with the statement by Chairman Trey Gowdy, which in part read, Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods were heroes who gave their lives in service to our country. Their bravery and the courageous actions of so many others on the ground that night should be honored. The only thing I would add is, and never forgotten. Sarah, despite President Obama and Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta's clear orders to deploy military assets, nothing was sent to Benghazi and nothing was en route to Libya at the time the last two Americans were killed almost 8 hours after the attacks began. Why?
I think there's a few reasons for it, at least if you look, you know, back at what was happening at the time. The military hadn't even postured themselves to prepare for the protests in Cairo, which they knew days in advance were happening. And this was happening about 4 hours before the attacks even occurred in Benghazi. So they didn't even prepare for that. There was also this focus that shifted to a video that was never actually happening at the time. The video hadn't gone viral prior to these attacks occurring. And then the third point is the fact that there had been a threat on Facebook to Tripoli, and oddly, a lot of people lost sight that attacks were currently still ongoing in Benghazi and started looking at how to protect Tripoli.
Yeah. With Ambassador Stevens missing, the White House convened a roughly two-hour meeting at 7:30, which resulted in action items focused on that YouTube video that you're talking about. Boone, you've articulated in previous interviews that I've watched that you were intentionally delayed that evening. Who delayed you and why?
Yes, we were intentionally delayed. We were delayed by the chief of base and also our team leader, that we didn't know that at the time. Why? We can't say 100%, but we believe it was because they didn't want us to respond, have something bad happened to us, and then it looked bad on them.
So
yeah, and Stu, I just want to give you one quick example.
Yeah.
We actually talked to several of the GRS members who'd been on the ground, and they provided us a listing of about four separate incidents in the months prior to this attack where their chief of base would not let them respond in the city of Benghazi and told them he would not let them respond to incidents in the city of Benghazi.
So is this like somebody who doesn't want collateral damage to protect themselves? Is this something that's higher up politically that was an initiative from, you know, elected representatives that was, hey, we don't want, you know, this look? What do you think it was?
I think it would more be on the local level, to where they don't want to look bad. They don't want that responsibility. They don't want to look like they're a failure, you know, not on my watch.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. What about the presence of the U.S. specifically in Benghazi? Was it a welcomed presence?
For the most part, it was a welcome presence. The people of Benghazi and the people of Libya were actually very supportive of the United States. But obviously, there were pockets of terrorists still infiltrating the country.
Yeah. The vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would typically have participated in that White House meeting that was convened at 7:30 p.m., but he didn't attend because instead he went home to host a dinner party for foreign dignitaries. Can you explain that? Do you have any idea, Sarah, why that was? Did that cost lives?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he reported to the committee when the committee questioned him. You know, he had just said it was an event he had, you know, on the books. It's very concerning because he was one of only two people appointed, I believe, by Panetta to handle communications that night as they were preparing to respond to attacks. So, yeah, I believe he just completely dropped the ball. And I don't know why on 9/11 he wouldn't take an attack more seriously.
Yeah, a dinner party, completely unavoidable. Not like, excuse me, I have something urgent that I need to attend to. In his position, you would think that that would be understandable, specifically by those who know him personally, know what he does. I don't think it would be out of line at all, would you? I mean, Boone, if you had to go somewhere, your friends would certainly understand, given what you do for our country. Oh, it must be something serious, right?
Absolutely. The emergency would take priority.
Yeah. None of the relevant military forces met their required deployment timelines, according to the report. This is uncharacteristic of the United States Armed Forces, indisputably the most elite in the world. Why the breakdown that night?
That's a good question. There's two ways to look at it. Either the strongest military in the world couldn't respond, or they didn't respond. Neither one's good, but we don't know why.
There's so many unanswered questions. Sarah, do you have anything on that?
Yeah, I also am concerned a little bit about the military posturing that night. Like I told you, they knew days in advance that there were going to be protests in Cairo. They also knew there was a 9/11 anniversary. So like the SIF who would respond to events in the region was on a training mission on 9/11. So it's very concerning if this is how they were postured to begin with.
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, components involved with this. There's four different components specifically that Boone had mentioned when we talked off the air on the phone the other evening. The DOD really looks bad in this report. The Department of Defense specifically looks like they really dropped the ball. Is there anything, without getting into too much classified stuff, Boone, that you can talk about that kind of highlights that very obvious blunder by the DOD?
Well, I think like we already mentioned before, having a national level asset and having extremist forces that are designed to respond to emergencies anywhere in the world on short notice, having them not forward deployed or not forward deployed, but having them not prepared to and on a training mission on the anniversary of 9/11, it's almost criminal. You know, to not have the assets in place, it's almost criminal, especially on 9/11. Also with the information that you had with Cairo, in other evolving situations throughout the world, it's like we were asleep at the wheel.
Sarah, Boone said something interesting, almost criminal. As the U.S. House of Representatives senior advisor for the committee, was there something criminal that took place?
I don't know if there was something criminal. I do think there was definitely many failures across the board. You know, even when you talk about those different forces that could deploy, like the SIF didn't have airplanes with them. The FAST company didn't have airplanes with them. So they, even when they had to deploy, they had to wait for airplanes to come to them. So there's things that you assume the military is doing correctly until the time of an attack. And then you realize, oh, they actually can't respond and they can't be here to assist us. And that's very concerning when you're obviously working in war zones and depending on the military to be the people who come and help protect you.
Boone, take us through some of that night's response, whatever you can talk about. I'm not asking you to obviously risk national security or give up deep dark secrets here. You're not part of the House Intelligence Committee. You're not sleeping with a Chinese spy. I think you hold your confidence pretty seriously, and thank you for that. That night, the air was ripe, you have said, for an attack. There was intelligence, there was communications from Chris Stevens earlier that day that said, hey, I'm here. I feel like I have to look over my shoulder all the time, basically. And I'm paraphrasing there. But basically, I mean, even the ambassador knew that something wasn't quite right. And then just hours later, that happens. Your chief of base is intentionally delaying you. Your team leader is intentionally delaying you. The team has the authority to override these decisions and just go anyways. Is that what happened?
Yes. There were events leading up to that night to where we knew an attack would happen eventually. We didn't know when, you know, but we knew something would happen. Could have been that night. Could have been a month from there. We didn't know. But we're always in a state of readiness. So we're always prepared. We always have a QRF anytime we're doing anything. So we're always forward thinking and forward leaning for any contingencies that might pop up. So I was actually on the QRF that night. So I was the first one to get the call along with my partner, Cristanto Peronto. So we all assembled, went to the team room. Once we're in the team room, we got briefed. We started to get our gear together, hop in the vehicles, get ready to go. And that's when we noticed, hey, things are starting to slow down. You know, we should be gone by now. We're not deploying. Why? And that's when we realized, hey, we're being delayed. Why are we being delayed? So we weren't really sure. We had a good idea of why we were being delayed. At some point, we just decided, look, we need to go. Now, we as a team don't have the authority to override the COB. The team leader has the authority to override the COB.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to us, the team leader was a part of that delay. We didn't know that at the time. So once it got to the point to where State Department was screaming on the radio, hey, if you guys don't come, we're all going to die. At that point, we were like, forget it. We don't care if team leader is on our side or not. We told him to get in the effing vehicle or we're leaving without you. And we left.
Good for you. Do you feel like it was a setup? Do you feel like somebody inside gave up intel? I mean, how did they know where Chris Stevens was inside of that compound? How did they know to go directly to that building? Why was somebody who's supposed to be responsible in part for the security at the consulate caught just hours earlier spying on the consulate from an elevated position? Any comment on that?
Yeah, so I believe you're correct. There's a lot going on here. There's obviously an insider threat issue. So some guards on the compound obviously told attackers where Chris Stevens would be. I don't know if you're aware, but there was two previous attacks on the consulate by guards that work there. So there had been an ongoing problem with the guards. Another thing you pointed out is, yes, the police organization that's supposed to basically man the outside of the consulate, they were caught doing some concerning surveillance the morning of the attacks. And they also actually left just prior to the attack occurring that night. And then a third point to bring up is the militias that actually had supported the Americans in the city a couple days prior had basically said, we're no longer going to protect you in Benghazi when you're out in the city. You know, we're no longer going to help you in times of need. So it was very clear that Americans were basically on their own when September 11th happened.
Do you think that that's because they were aware that some attack was going to happen and they didn't want to risk themselves not knowing specifically maybe when that was going to take place?
No, that actually isn't the case. The case is actually a Libyan political dynamic. At the time, Libyan elections were going on. They were actually occurring September 12th. The U.S. was backing a candidate that wanted to get rid of those militias in Benghazi. Another candidate was going to make the head of the 17th February militia his minister of defense. So it was purely to do with Libyan politics that they backed away from the U.S. at the time. But yes, they also knew an attack was occurring prior and did not inform us too. So
what about American politics? You know, how does this weigh in? I mean, was there cover-ups? Were there lies? Have these things been exposed? And will anybody ever be held accountable for those lies, for those cover-ups, if indeed they did take place? I mean, it's got to be frustrating from both of your points of perspective. You know, you were there, Boone. You saw, unimaginable horror that evening. You're obviously built for that. You know, this is something that you're used to. You can never really articulate why. I understand that in part. Sarah, you've delved into some of the most deepest secrets and intel regarding this stuff. You both have access to information that none of us ever will. It's got to be very frustrating that this thing still, I mean, it can never be forgotten. It has to never go away until somebody answers for this. Will anybody ever answer for this?
Sure. Probably not. Not publicly anyway. Some already have indirectly, but not by the doing of the U.S. intentionally. But ultimately, no, we probably never will get 100% justice. At the same time, though, Benghazi was never a cover-up until after the fact. There was nothing to cover up. Mistakes were made. Some things were done wrong. But until we had the White House spinning it, turning it into a cover-up, till we had the Secretary of State spinning it, turning it into a cover-up, there was nothing to cover up.
Secretary of State, you're talking about Hillary Clinton, obviously. What did she say that was a cover-up? Specifically, what untruths that you know did she say?
Yeah, sure. One of the things that's very concerning is, you know, we found out she was sending like an email to her daughter saying, you know, this was an Al-Qaeda like group that committed this attack. But then she was on TV discussing that this was to do with a video and it was a protest that got out of hand. So, you know, our biggest concern is that it was very clear DNA attacks who the attackers were. They knew who the attackers were in real time because they identified themselves. And it was concerning after the fact, like Boone saying, that these politicians decided to change the narrative. And then that's when it became a conspiracy theory, because one side saying one thing and one side saying the other thing. And it's just very unfortunate.
What face do you think the White House would have to save for Al-Qaeda?
I don't think it's for Al-Qaeda. I think it's the fact that they wanted Libya to be a success, right? Because they made the decision to go in there and participate and support the revolutionaries. So they didn't want then a failed state on their hands. And, you know, Boone usually says this too, you know, we're 2 months from an election. They didn't want, you know, dead Americans on their hands and it to do with any failures on the U.S. side of the house.
Yeah. The Libyan forces that eventually evacuated Americans from the CIA annex to the Benghazi airport were not affiliated with any of the militias the CIA or State Department had developed a relationship with during the prior year and a half or so, 18 months apparently. Instead, it was comprised of former Gaddafi loyalists who the U.S. had helped remove from power during the Libyan revolution. Sarah, do you find this to be of importance?
Yeah, I mean, this is super concerning, obviously. You know, we went into this country to remove Gaddafi. We made a lot of allies. You know, we supported a lot of these militias. And, you know, when push came to shove and Americans were under attack, we had to rely on Gaddafi's people to bring us to the airport so we could fly out. And even then, you know, we had to rely on Libyans to fly us out of the Benghazi airport because no Americans came, you know, basically from the DOD to help us get out of the airport. So yeah, it's very concerning. And it just kind of shows you too, you know, how good humans can be, right? I mean, you know, Gaddafi might've been a bad guy, but all the people who worked for him or were forced to work for him, it doesn't mean they're bad people. So, you know, I mean, we're very thankful that they showed up that night.
Compared to cops on the streets today enforcing mask mandates or business closures, they know that they don't really agree with this, but they also know that they won't have a job if they don't enforce it. At what point do you draw the line? You know, I would say that it's when human life is at risk, and those people did exactly that. As the Select Committee senior advisor, do you feel like the entire truth was told inside of the report that we all have access to?
Well, I think, you know, and I mean, Boone would probably agree, everyone has their own side of the story, right? I mean, obviously the CIA people who were there that night, the State Department people who were there that night, maybe local Libyans even have a different view. So I don't know if you're going to ever get the exact story how it was. I think the committee did a really good job. I mean, Trey Gowdy and, you know, there's really great other Congress people on the committee like Susan Brooks, you know, Mike Pompeo, Jim Jordan, every one of them, at least when I was serving on it, really wanted to get things as accurate as possible. And I do think you see that in the report, their efforts to get it correct.
Okay. What did we miss? What do you think is important that the American people know specifically about that night? Boone, anything?
I think it's just a transparency. You know, if mistakes were made, just say, hey, mistakes were made. You know, no harm, no foul. We make mistakes, especially in an emergency under duress. It happens. So if we made mistakes, own up to it.
Sarah?
I think one lesson learned from this is we do need to make sure diplomatic facilities overseas, you do need your people to serve in a war zone type environment, you do need to make sure they're protected in those environments. You know, that's pretty crucial. And I'm not even sure we're up to standards in all locations right now. So it is something that should be looked at.
We're going to put a link to a website on the screen here. This is where you're now you're taking care of shooting classes. You're teaching lawful gun owners how to shoot, specifically advanced training and things like that. Boone, what are you doing now?
That is correct. I'm a full-time firearms instructor. Not only do we hold open enrollment courses for legally law-abiding private citizens who own firearms and want to protect themselves, but we're also training law enforcement as well.
Shootingclasses.com, great website. Thank you very much, both of you, for your service to our country, for your sacrifices that you've made, for your dedication to finding the truth, all of those things. I mean, just 100% commendable, and we appreciate you making the time to come and talk to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, folks, by now you have heard of Carlos Cortez. He's a daily open on the Patriotically Correct radio show and podcast. He's here to tell us about all of the goings-on in the financial world. Now, what makes Carlos Cortez the title sponsor on this program is, well, he pays for it. But number two, because we do business with America First Patriots. We've talked about Verve Forever. We're talking now about Cortez Wealth Management. These are companies that are owned by America First Patriots. They are fathers. They are husbands. They care about the future of our republic. And Carlos Cortez cares about the future of your financial stability, what you're going to leave to your kids, your grandkids, whether or not you're going to be able to kick your feet up and not depending on some Wall Street-backed, Wall Street-influenced, regime-manipulated, big, huge conglomerate, CCP-backed, Canadian-owned franchise here. He's an independent fiduciary, which means that he can not consider you as a number, but consider you as an actual person. Whether you're extremely successful with millions and millions of dollars, or if you're part of the middle class, which is the backbone of the American economy, and those are the people that Cortez wants to help the most. So give him a call in his office today, 813-448-3446. The number is on the screen, 813-448-3446, or visit him online at CortezWM.com. Cortez Wealth Management, home of the America First Retirement Plan. Again, CortezWM.com. The restrictions, the lockdowns, the masking, the injections, the passports, the vaccines, the going to work, the traveling, everybody's responding to the coronavirus differently. How is the Biden administration responding? Well, here to talk to us about that is somebody who has integrity-filled journalism. You can find him at nationalfile.com. Patrick Howley, senior reporter for that outfit. Patrick, good afternoon. Welcome back to PC Radio.
Good afternoon, Stu. You know, the experts have been telling us for a while now that you should wear a mask while having sex. And I think we should all be concerned that if we criticize that, they might accuse us of kink shaming.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And haven't we already discussed the possible side effects as confirmed by scientists? So the reduction of a certain part of your body, if you're a male, an area that most males would be concerned about, probably shrinking if you wear a mask. So the displeasure that it could create all the way around just seems to be, let's just take these things off, right?
And that's why Fauci takes his mask off, because he doesn't have that much left to lose.
A whole lot
he
of wiggle room every, there. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Every inch that remains. But, you know, the Biden administration, by the way, they're rolling out potentially over $3 trillion in tax hikes and a possible mileage tax for drivers. So it's going to become even more expensive for Biden voters to drive around wearing their masks in their cars. You've seen a lot of these Democrats driving around wearing the mask in the car. And
Kamala Harris, I've never been able to understand that.
Kamala Harris pretty much explained what this coronavirus shakedown is all about.
More people are seeing that, yeah, affordable childcare is a big deal. More parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to bring their kids.
Oh, I get it now. Yes. Is she okay?
That cackle is disturbing, and it's going to haunt a lot of Americans late at night when they have nightmares about that cackling witch. But essentially what she's saying is that the coronavirus has made people want to pay teachers more taxpayer money. And of course, the teacher unions benefit from this now that parents realize the supposed value of teachers. I think it's just the opposite, actually. I think that parents are realizing that homeschooling is the way to go instead of sending your kids in there with maniac, psychopathic people who are going to read them picture books about how Elmo wears a mask. So I think it's going in the opposite direction, but we're going to see that separation of ideologies in this country between the conservative, patriotic parents homeschooling and the idiotic leftists sending their kids in to be tortured by the mask tyrants. But it looks like President Donald Trump is solidly on our side. He released an excellent statement slamming Fauci and Birx and basically ending any kind of credibility that the so-called medical experts have whatsoever. Trump said, quote, Fauci spent U.S. money on the Wuhan lab in China, and we now know how that worked out. And that's a big home run for me because I was the one who broke the story that Fauci's NIAID was funding the bat coronavirus research project at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Of course, Trump and Mike Pompeo and others, including the former CDC director Redfield, have now said that it most likely leaked out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So I think we all know what was going on there. Fauci funded it, and then that gave us the outbreak, allegedly. Meanwhile, the Biden people are working on a vaccine passport system with private companies. And here are the folks who just care about our safety who are working on the so-called vaccination credential initiative. You got IBM, you got Microsoft, you got Salesforce, Oracle, the Mayo Clinic, the Commons Project, which is funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and they're working with the World Economic Forum on a product called Common Pass, which will be basically a worldwide vaccine passport. The World Economic Forum, of course, is responsible for the Great Reset, which tells us that we will own nothing and be happy. And meanwhile, the mainstream media is predictive programming the idea that we're going to be eating more insects in the future. Insect protein is set to become a $1 billion industry. Governor Ron DeSantis has vowed to use executive action to stop vaccine passport mandates in his state. In Alachua County, Florida, they had to pass an emergency order making separate social distancing rules for vaccinated people and non-vaccinated people. But due to public outrage, the authorities had to delete a line about how authorities can demand to see proof of vaccination. So there's a ton of public outrage against the so-called vaccine passport. And there's also a ton of public outrage, of course, against the masks. On Saturday, April 10th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the Million Maskless March will commence. American patriots will take off their masks. They will burn their masks to commemorate the one-year anniversary of the mask tyranny in Broward County, Florida. But I think that the crazy people, the insane leftists, are going to probably wear their masks forever. Here is Idaho Falls School District 91 Board of Trustees member Elizabeth Cogliati gasping for air, literally, as she tries to force masks upon others.
They make recommendations for the entire country based on their knowledge and their understanding of what is best for everyone. And they don't need to visit our school district to make recommendations for everyone. And they currently have recommendations out that with the current level of transmission in Bonneville County, that we should be in hybrid for the elementary schools and virtual for middle schools and high schools. And we're not following that. But I do think that we should follow their request and their recommendation for.
Come on.
Masking.
There we go. There it is. This is great. Watch.
I'm done.
So you want to pick and choose?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do want to pick and choose.
Oh, my God. These people are, listen, folks, if I have never made it clear, I've always made it clear, but if you haven't heard me on this program tell you over and over again, run for school board. If you are standing in front of the mirror every morning, scratching your head, convincing yourself that you're not crazy and that you see all this nonsense going on, folks, this is the future of our country. These people are responsible for the education of our children. Did you see this? Oh, my God. God. Oh. I'm done.
It seemed like she had just run a marathon, and it was kind of like running a marathon watching her. These people are psychotic. Wow. They are foolish. They are stupid, and they are hysterical, and they seek to rule over us. But we will always hold them accountable here on the Daily Intel Brief.
That's right. Patrick, when are people going to just state the obvious? Come on. I mean, we have a virus that has a 99.98% survival rate.
what is going on? I mean, can you make any sense of this? Can you tell, like, what is the big push for this injection, this vaccine? Why? Why isn't there such a push for influenza B? Where, by the way, people have been dying, 80,000 some odd people, usually on the average, every single flu season perish from this thing. The common cold has been around since the inception of time. We have never been able to come up with a vaccine for that. But suddenly, as this new virus, I'm supposed to believe that there is now this vaccine, which, by the way, we have talked about, tricks your body into believing that you have COVID all the time. So it's all nonsense. The masking has been proven not to work. Look at where these masks come from. Look at the environment that these masks come from as people are putting these things over their face. These so-called health nuts, these people who are not going to die as a result of the world-ending plague that daddy government tells you is going to kill you. Mommy media parrots it and repeats it every single day. This is a totalitarian type overthrow, a complete toppling of our political system in the name of a virus that literally everybody who contracts it survives. Everybody, almost, except for those who have major underlying pre-diagnosed or undiagnosed health conditions, super, super fat people, people with major health complications, or people that are super, super old. I mean, what is going on? Make some sense of all this. I'm pulling my hair out over here watching this lady, this woman in charge of our schools and the education that our kids are going to get. Our whole government is collapsing. The entire economy is falling apart. People can't see their families. They can't go to the funerals of their loved ones that they are burying. They can't go visit grandma and grandpa in their homes where they're placed in solitary confinement. They can't even come out to the lobby to watch their friend play the piano or have a cup of cheap decaf coffee with their pal who probably only has 4 days left to live anyways. I mean, what is going on?
The left is a cult, and a lot of these leftists actually do realize that it's all nonsense at this point, but they think it's good because they think it's going to bring on communism, and they think that the middle-class white man is somehow constrained by having to wear a face muzzle on his face, and of course he is constrained because the federal government is persecuting him and humiliating him in a humiliation ritual and doing that to everyone. But the people who are on the leftist side, the people who want to tear down Western civilization, are implicitly or otherwise rallying around this coronavirus lockdown. And it's become a sense of identity for people because they have no identity. When you see people posting memes like "come and take it" with their mask after Greg Abbott got rid of the mask mandate in Texas, you see that it's about political symbology and it's about being part of the cult.
I mean, this is what people do with their guns. All right, the Second Amendment, come and take it, right? Out of my cold, dead hands, the rigor mortis will set in before you ever have a chance to take my guns. But a mask that was made over here in these third world countries where people who are infected with the world's real ending plagues. I mean, we're talking like Ebola. We're talking about tuberculosis. We're talking about hepatitis. We're talking about, I mean, all kinds of malaria and these diphtheria and stuff that you get when you're bit by weird, exotic, venomous animals and creatures and bugs and stuff. And these people are actually dying. And they're the ones that are manufacturing this thing that you put over your face. Why are there hundreds of millions of people, at least, that are really honestly subjecting themselves to this? Why can't people critically and independently think on their own? Are we really surrounded? And I'm really asking you, Patrick, because you're an educated young fella, and I value your opinion. These segments don't normally go on this, but I am really hot about this. Am I really walking around amongst that many really stupid people? Is that really, I mean, have I overestimated the intelligence of the average American or just global citizen?
Well, I think the average American is actually a little bit smarter, because what you have is the woke people, the smarter people, the red-pilled people are smarter than ever, more intelligent than they've ever been, more awake than they've ever been, and those are our viewers. But then on the other side, you have people who are stupider than they've ever been. And so you have people walking around in two different realities, and there's no common consensus anymore because of the hyper-partisanship of the media and the propaganda that gets put out. So we are walking around among enemies who truly hate us and despise our existence.
Do you wear a mask?
No.
Have you ever worn a mask? I mean, have you worn one? Have you caved to the socio-political environmental pressure of, look, you just can't come in here and shop unless you put that thing on? Have you done that?
No, I took a funny photo once for Twitter, kind of mocking it with a mask on. But aside from that, I've never caved to the pressure.
Have you been dismissed from a place of business because you refuse to wear it?
Tons. And, you know, I have never lost a mask battle. I welcome the confrontation. I enjoy the confrontation. I enjoy making the people look like idiots. But yes, I'm banned from many different chain stores and establishments.
I was inside of a gas station last night on the way home from hockey, and we're going to get out of here. I got to go to a break. But on the way home from hockey, bringing my son home, went in to grab him some chicken strips. He was really hungry, and this place has great chicken strips. Walk in, and the clerk there says, sir, your mask. And I said, no, I have CS. I can't wear a mask. I have CS. Never asked a question at all, but that is the argument. All you can tell them is I have CS, and that is common sense. The Daily Intel Brief. A lot of common sense going on here every single weekday, Monday through Friday, on Patriotically Correct. You can find more from Patrick Hawley at nationalfile.com. All of the people that I talk to every day, the people who have been through different things, the people who work in the law enforcement community, previous veterans, people who are going through horrific things in today's day and age dealing with stress and anxiety, CBD can help. We know that you have to use other methods to deal with emotional stress, with ADHD, with PTSD and all these other things that have the aforementioned. Of course, you need to talk to people. Of course, there are therapies that you can go through and other methods that you cope with different things in your life. But CBD can make a tremendous impact in a positive way on your life. Verve Forever is the highest quality CBD that's available at the most affordable prices. But moreover, it's a veteran-owned company. Tim Klund, a veteran of the United States Armed Forces, is also a patriot, an America First patriot. He is a husband, he is a father, and he cares about the future of the Republic, and you should care about the future of our Republic as well by showing that commitment to doing business with America First companies first. So if you're not doing business with an America First, patriot-owned, veteran-owned CBD company, come on over to Verve Forever. You can find more information on the tremendous Verve products at AmericaFirstOil.com. I am a customer of Verve, and I'm telling you that personally, I vouch for the tremendous difference it has made in my life. I use the oil for stress and anxiety. I use the pain cream and the patches for my shoulder pain. I have a neighbor who uses it for her knee pain. My wife uses it for migraines. I'm telling you, Verve is a great product, and you can find more information on Verve Forever at AmericaFirstOil.com. Go there right now. Stop everything you're doing and go to AmericaFirstOil.com. Exclusive can only be found if you register for the email list at redvoicemedia.com. So I don't want you to miss this thing, folks. Make sure that you get over to redvoicemedia.com right now and sign up for the email list on that fantastic website. That website can also be used for anything fact-related, truth-related. Listen, it is where the truth lives. Very similar to right here on Patriotically Correct. Every single afternoon, we try to dig into some of the most forgotten about stories or some of the stories that you will not hear about in mainstream media. This is why we're talking to mothers who are having their kids ripped away from them in the name of health and safety. I predicted this, folks, a long time ago. I said that these nuts from the left that have hijacked the Democrat Party, these progressive radical tyrants, these communists that are in charge of our government right now, are going to come after your kids. I told you that they would do that. They're taking kids away from people. The mainstream media will not touch this, but we will. Red Voice Media will talk about these things. As you know, also each Friday, I host the final hour of the Alex Jones Show. So make sure to find me there on InfoWars. If you don't know, now you know. Tell a friend, by the way. about Patriotically Correct and tell them where they can find us. I mean, if you punch Stu Peters into a DuckDuckGo search or into the communist run Google over there, you'll find our platforms everywhere. We're on Rumble. We do have a YouTube channel. I'm on Twitter at Real Stu Peters. I'm in Telegram, t.me/Stu Peters. I'm on Parler at Real Stu Peters. I'm at Gab at Real Stu Peters. I'm on Facebook, the Patriotically Correct radio show. We broadcast live there every single day. One of our smaller audiences, but one of the most loyal audiences, because most of those people have been there from the beginning. I want to give a shout out to all those people here inside of the Facebook page that are watching us, and a big thank you to Mojo 50 Radio for giving us our start here. Thanks again to our sponsors at Cortez Wealth Management and Verve Forever. If you have a product that you want to advertise or a service that you offer, make sure that you contact us, StuPeters@ProtonMail.com. The same if you have a story that you want us to dig into. If you have something that's going on in your neighborhood, if your school board is up to no good, if you've got the panting and wheezing woman pushing for masks, or maybe you have corruption going on inside of your local government, we want to know about these things. If you're a whistleblower somewhere, Project Veritas is not the only game in town. We will sit down and talk to you, just like we talked to the whistleblower regarding this judiciary corruption that we're going to expose next week. It will be a special here on Patriotically Correct. And again, the only way that you'll be able to get that is by going over to redvoicemedia.com and signing up for that email list. We will be back tomorrow, as we are every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Thanks a lot for joining me here on my birthday today, March 31st. Tomorrow's April Fool's Day. Make sure to fool a loved one, but don't act a fool, all right? And until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way that you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. I know I'm out of time. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radar!